with Jesus, we are more than conquerors. We conquer it with him, with the word, but we are more than that because we're renewed.
Hello, people, and welcome back to Unscripted Scripture. I'm Zach,
yes. And
this is my buddy, Jack.
Good job.
Yes. We had to go through this like three times before because I called myself Jack.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
You're turning into a grandpa already.
I know. Jack says I'm going to call my kids like three different names before the right kid.
You're going to be like, oh, you, no, Jason, Jarek.
Hey, as long as it's like my kids and not someone else's kids. If I name all 10 of them, then that's fine.
Yeah.
I named them. I can name, say whatever, call them whatever I want. All right. Well, we're going to jump into Unscripted Scripture. But first, this week, there was a couple of baseball moves. We got to
talk
baseball.
About it. We got to talk about baseball.
We're not a baseball podcast, but
we have to, man.
Yeah. All right. It's our interest.
Ugh.
So Hall of Fame happened yesterday. And who's inducted, Jack?
Nobody.
No one.
Big old goose egg on the ballot this year.
What?
Well, they are going to, I mean, they're bringing in Derek Jeter, Larry Walker.
Right,
some of those guys, they're going to be inducted because of COVID.
Last year's.
Yeah.
Last year's bringings. Yeah. Yeah. And, well, Curt Schilling's like, yeah, just take me out now.
He's done. Dude, he's like, don't even involve me. I'm out.
Yeah. So.
That's crazy.
Not a jerk, dude.
Dude, he's, come on. He's like.
Come on. No.
He's like, I've been here 10 years.
No,
now.
Imagine showing up to a birthday party and you show up for the cake and every time you don't get cake. You get so close, like there's a line to get the cake and you're like the next person in line and then they're like, sorry, we ran out of cake.
Yeah, but he's like, that's not what you're working for at a baseball player. You're working for World Series.
What?
That's an honor. That's an honor is granted to you.
The only person I know who has said that I don't care if I'm in the Hall of Fame or not, was Ricky Henderson. Because he said, he's like, I never want to be in the Hall of Fame because when I'm in the Hall of Fame, it means I'm done playing
baseball.
That's
the attitude. I love that.
He's like,
attitude.
I don't want to be done playing baseball. All right, whatever. And Phillies got JT. JT Realmuto. Big guy.
They got
shout out, JT Realmuto. If you want to come on our show, you can. We'll let you.
Bring it on, JT.
Abby will have to pass it, but we'll let you go.
Yeah.
Two against one. All right.
It's big baseball news.
Yeah, big baseball. But we got some biblical news because we are a Bible podcast.
Yes, we
are. So we are going to talk about the Bible.
Yeah. I'm very excited about this one. This has been on my heart all week. I didn't know how to approach it when I was researching it and looking it up. I don't even know how to jump into it, man. We're looking at Mark 5. Mark 5, 1 to 20. So it's a gospel story, and it's also found in Matthew 8:18, and then it's found in Luke 8 as well. And so it's all over the place, but Mark 5 hits the core of it, and so that's what we're going to be looking at today, if you want to turn with us in your Bibles or scroll on your phones, wherever you're looking, listening to your Bible. Just tune in with us, because this is going to be great. But we are going to start. This is actually sets up after a podcast that we already did when we talked about Jesus calming the storm back in the day.
I don't think you can go through Mark 5 without talking about Mark 4:35 in the storm.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of brings you to where Jesus is at, all of the stuff he's been through, what his disciples just saw. He was very tired because he was preaching all day and he fell asleep on the boat. And then a storm erupted out in the ocean, and the disciples were like, Jesus, calm it. And, you know, with the simple words of quiet, be still, everything was calmed. I think we joked about, like, one more raindrop falling, and Jesus be like, no, I said stop. So, yeah.
Just like that. And he had shown his power in different ways and calming the storm. So they were sailing on the sea. But this is a time when Jesus hadn't publicly revealed himself to be the Messiah. He hadn't truly put himself on the line as being that person.
He
just done miracles.
He had a little bit.
He's shown the disciples his power, you know, in different ways.
Right. In Psalms 35:7, It did talk about, here, let me turn my pages and find it. 65:7, sorry. It says, it talks about who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the turmoil of the nations. And before that, it kind of talks about that the person who does that is going to be the God of heavens. So he does a little bit behind the scenes. Like, if you were a deep theologist pastor and you knew the scriptures, mm-hmm. I guess they didn't call them pastors back then.
Scholars,
yeah. Like, they would be able to know that, okay, this is the real guy because mm-hmm. of Mark 4:35, where he calmed the sea. So he was starting the show like, hey, I am the Messiah. But you're right. It was like you had to be a deep Bible follower, deep scripture
student
follower.
Of the law. Yeah. You had to know right. it, you know.
So to the common everyday man, they really didn't know yet. That
and even us, like looking at this story now, this is something we didn't know too much about. And no. Abby like didn't know, we talked about it, but like we don't know much about the story. I don't mm-hmm. remember it that much. But we had, you know, it had come to us through, you know, Sunday schools and different I actually saw it in Sight and Sound when we saw the play Jesus, and that's how it got stuck in my mind because it was so powerful there. But we're going to jump right into it and just hope it touches our hearts in a new way. So we're at Mark 5, and so they're across the lake. They just got through the storm, and they reach the region of the Gerasenes or the Gadarenes. Some translations do it differently. This is the land of Gadara, I think is how it's said. So now, Zach, I want you to picture.
I can picture
this man, beast. Picture a beast.
Who is a beast?
The Hulk.
Okay,
but right. shrink the Hulk right. down maybe to like a little bit of a man size.
Okay, all right.
So all right. Picture like a Samson kind of. Okay. I guess Samson's like a Hulk though too. But just this beast, man, almost like a monster.
Yeah,
like terrifying guy.
Oh, okay.
Just grotesque and wild and enraged.
See, I'm thinking of more like the Joker than...
No, I want you to picture like someone like strong and
Rocky
wild.
Rocky Balboa.
Sure. A wild sure. Rocky. Okay. You know the movie Split? You know the movie Split?
No, but I can pretend.
So it was a movie about this guy who had like a personality disorder.
Okay.
And he would turn into a beast in one of his personalities. And he ended up being like he was kind of like a serial killer. But when he turned into the beast, he had like superhuman strength. He could like bend bars and climb walls. And he turned into like this animal. And that's what Jesus and the disciples are looking at when they reach the shores. Because when they got out of the boat, this man rushed toward them. This man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to see Jesus. He had lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore.
What do you mean by bind?
Chain him up. He was so wild and so reckless, he was putting harm onto himself and on other people. And so, because he was possessed by these impure spirits. And it says, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he had torn the chains apart. So he's stronger than man. And he's breaking these chains. He broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. I love this key verse we're going to get into. But no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with the stones. So this guy was lost in his mind. He was so far gone.
Jeez.
He didn't know who he was because the demons in his body and in his mind were just corrupting him inside and out. But it turned him into this like wild monster animal. I don't even know how to describe it. I can't even like picture it. But he saw Jesus from a distance and he ran. When he saw Jesus, he ran to him.
So he wasn't running to attack. He was running to...
He just ran. So he ran to Jesus and he fell on his knees in front of him. What? Fell on his knees And now what comes out is like probably the most terrifying thing you could hear out of a man. I don't even know what he, like the tone of his voice that he would have said saying this, like being possessed by these demons. He said, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." And Jesus asked him his name. He said, "What's your name?" The guy says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So it was like he was swarmed by these demonic spirits.
Right. So it wasn't just one spirit was in him. No, they answered, "We are many."
He was like consumed.
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we might not know the answer, but it's just my mind thinking. Who is speaking? Is it the man speaking or the demons inside the man?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think this is the man. Like, I don't think this man's possessed. It's obvious. Okay. It says he's possessed. And so his name is Legion. He says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So he's not talking about himself. He's talking about the we.
Mm-hmm.
As in the things inside of him that are convicting him to say these things to Jesus. So I think this is a guy who's so far gone of who he is that he is, this devil is just him now, like taking over his body and is just causing havoc all over the place. Now, to rewind where we are, this is Gadara. I'm saying it wrong. But
I apologize.
This
fine.
Place is, it's a Gentile territory. So,
okay. Huh.
This, I actually read something from John Piper who kind of explained this because I was like, I didn't know where we were because it was just from what we'll talk about later on. But where we were, he says it's a Gentile territory since the Jews regarded these pigs. They were like herds of pigs in the area. So the pigs were recognized as unclean by Jews. And these people were raising the pigs. So they were obviously raising them to eat them and to raise them for food.
Weren't wild pigs. They were like
herds. Farm pigs. Okay. So that shows you it's Gentiles.
Okay.
And so this kind of hints at the fact beforehand that like Jesus's ministry is going to reach to all peoples everywhere, not just to the Jews, not just to Israel. It's going to reach everybody, every nation, all over the world. So that's what Piper kind of hinted at, and I like that because it explains like where we're at and why this story is so significant. But
good job, Mr. Piper.
Yeah.
Or but, doctor, is he doctor?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't know either.
But I think what I like before we jump into the next part is that we are not stronger than the devil. I'll just say it right there. Mm. Because this guy was... he was torn apart. All aspects of him, like the devil had taken over his life.
Yeah.
Like he obviously wasn't brought into this world right there in the wild. He probably had a family. He had to have had a mother.
Yeah.
And so he had somehow gotten lost in with these demons, and these demons just took over his life to the point where they run him now. Literally run him, and like they're speaking out of his mouth. They're acting on his thoughts and his actions, and they're making him do these crazy things. Cut himself with stones.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is not beating it. He can't beat the devil.
So if I ask the question, because I like to modernize everything, do you think there's people living like this in today's world?
Yeah, I think that's the big question here.
I know. I think that's the hard question.
It's the hard question. Because we look at people that struggle with like mental health. Or like I said in the movie, like the guy with the personality disorder.
Yeah.
Like, are those demons? Are those demons that are corrupting their minds and their hearts?
Right.
Because they didn't choose that. Like, they didn't choose to have that struggle with mental health, those things that torment them every day. But for some people, like, they're born with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're brought into this world with disabilities and things that they can't control. So...
well, this is a big question, not to cut you off, Jack, but
yeah, go.
Like this question, this verse right here, this tears churches apart because it's such a, I guess, such a risky verse and such a risky question. Like, about demons, because it's just so, at least in my opinion, I feel like it is.
I think we can personify it. Okay. So if I ask you, like, what is your demon in your life? Like, what is your demon? And I look at myself, like, what is my demon?
So what is your strong, or what is Satan kind of taking over in your life? Yeah. Like, that's what you're asking? Because
I think that it's not per se that, like, I'm possessed. And I'm, but, okay, it's not like I'm possessed to the point where, like, Legion, where I'm, like, lost control and I'm wild.
Yeah.
But I think people get so far stuck in their sin that they become addicted, obsessed, possessed.
Okay.
You know, I think, like, you know, drug addicts, you know, prostitutes, things like people who are so far gone in what is right that that's all their life. That's their whole life. I think they have, those demons have taken over. Not that they're possessed, but that that sin that they've run after and hold on to is their demon. And it's taken over their life. And I think all of us have that. So I like to personify it. Not to say that it's to the extent of Legion here, but to say that we all have our own demons. Some take over more than others, but we all have them. And so I think, when, to answer your question, like, I think we do have them today, but it's not in the physical way that Legion did. I don't think so, but okay. I could be wrong.
I think there are people that have the same way Legion does. I think.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't think I can think of someone off the top of my head. Yeah. But yeah, I think there are. I think Satan does put demons in people like Legion.
I'm sure. I mean, yeah, and I just haven't seen it to that extent, but yeah, you're right. I'm definitely, I wouldn't discredit the devil's power, just like I wouldn't discredit God's power, you know? Because we aren't stronger than the devil. And that's something that we're reiterating here, is that we can't beat the devil on our own. And when we think so many times that we can, like, I can get through it, I can get through it, I can get through it. That's that's the worst thing you could say. It's the worst thing we can say to ourselves and to each other. So you can get through it. You'll beat it. There's always got to be a hook at the end of that. It's like, you'll beat it with Jesus. Like, you can do this. You can get through it with Jesus, like, with the Word, with God.
With that's, the help of this.
That's the core of
the hook, yeah.
And so when we continue on with this story.
Yes, the story.
We'll see that in verse 10. So Legion says, "We are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Not to send them, you know, back to hell. He's saying, keep us here. And I like another part where we go to, let me just flip to Matthew real quick. This story again. This story in Matthew talks about two men, but the point I want to get is that the legion said, "Have you come here, Son of God, to torture us before the appointed time?" So they're recognizing that Jesus was going to come. His ministry was going to happen, but they didn't see it as now. They're like, this isn't your time yet. So why are you coming now before the time? I think that's so crucial because, like, Jesus, this time of him, like, going to the Gentiles, going to the Gentiles before even going to Jerusalem and saying, like, now,
like, I think
you're going into the territory of the people that don't even follow our God, like, don't even follow our ways and our laws. And that's not, it's not the time yet.
So the way I see it, the way I think the demons see it are, so, you know, like the mob movies, like where they own a business, they own something and you have to pay them so much money back, or else they'll hurt you or hurt your family or, you know, like the old movies like that. And I feel like that's what the mob guys are really mean. I thought the demons feel like that was Jesus, because Jesus, the mob guys in the movies, they come back like 3 days early and they're like, we're not supposed to pay yet. We're not supposed to pay. Give us grace. And I feel like that's what the demons are doing with Jesus right now. Like, wait, you weren't supposed to be here yet. You weren't supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Like, and then they're looking for this grace. They're looking for this way out.
Yeah.
Even though it's not entirely the same, but I had to say it because I was like, it popped in my head.
Because they want to stick around, and like they're not going, like, because they're the sin. They're not going anywhere, and that's why I think they asked, like, don't let us leave this area, because we're not all gone. Like, you can shut us out yet, but it's not your time to totally take away sin. Like, when he goes to die on the cross, he sponges away our sin. He cleanses us of that.
Sponges away our sin. I like
that. That's the day that sin is defeated. Sin is defeated on that day. And so they're like, it's not that time yet. You can't get rid of us too soon. And they're going to work in people until that time and then beyond even. But the fact that we can be saved of our sin, that's what Jesus does on the cross. And it's justified. Our sin is then justified after that. But I love this, just this story, man. It's so cool. So then we go on to 11 and we look at the pigs. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. Like we said earlier, we're in the Gentile territory. You know, they're eating pigs, they're cooking the bacon, they're cooking the ham, got the pulled pork, you know, they're living life, man, with these, these sandwiches. The disciples are looking on from the boat like, why are we here, Jesus? This isn't our territory. This isn't our place. Then he still sees this man who's broken and needs him. And the demons say to Jesus, they beg Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. Allow us to go into them. So why did he sentence the pigs to experience that? Like the pigs, because he says he gives them permission and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. So they're into the pigs now. Right as they go into the pigs, the herd, about 2,000 in number, 2,000 pigs rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned.
Why?
Yeah, why? Why would he pulled the demons out of this man, saved this man, put him into the harmless, innocent pigs, and sent them over the cliff. They all died. All 2,000 died. Why did he do that? And that's the question. Like, that was the title of, I listened to John Piper, and I was all over John Piper this week. I love him. But he did a podcast on why did Jesus sentence the pigs to die. And I was listening to it, and he broke it down. Like, he's like, what? He said, what?
Yeah.
What is happening?
In my mind right now, I'm thinking these pigs are what these people live off of. They're like, I think I actually did some research, and these pigs, these 2,000 pigs would have been like $400,000, like in modern time. Like, that's what it relates to. And so for like, that's their assets.
Cash,
so how, like, and he doesn't really talk about this, but I'm hoping you have some answers of what John Piper kind of broke it down into.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a message to the people of to the Gadarenes, to the Gerasenes. Like, this was a message to them. And I guess to the disciples too, but so the pigs died, and those who were tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and in the countryside. Like, pigs are dying, and people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there. He was dressed, he was clean, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The people were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Because all, like you said, all their money, man, all their assets, their commodities, their livelihood, just drowned in a lake.
Fell off
the cliff, and they're gone. Yeah. All they know, how are they going to make their money? That's like your whole field of crops burning right in the harvest season. That's like everything you own. We're looking at Job, like Job's whole life just gone, flashed before his eyes. But I think the message here, and what Piper had said, and what I've read about, is that God uses Satan to test us. Sometimes God allows Satan to infiltrate us and to make us suffer for our testing, like he did Job. Like, he said, go, my servant Job is righteous, he's upright. Do what you will with him, but spare his life. And Job persevered, man. He had some doubts, he had some times, but he persevered for God. And Piper says that in Mark, Jesus conquers the devil. He sets this prisoner free, presents himself as the great deliverer to these people who don't follow his ways, don't pray to God like they should. But the message here is love him and his salvation, or love your possessions and your wealth and your pigs. What should you truly be loving? And this is the first time they had seen Jesus, so obviously they're gonna be mad. They're gonna, who is this guy? Like, and they never study. They don't study like the Torah as much. They didn't know the prophecy as well. I'm just predicting, but they see Jesus and they're like, this guy just killed all our pigs, man. Get him out of here. But he's like, no, like that's not the reason. He didn't say that. But this next part, Jesus was getting into the boat. The man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but he said, go home to your people. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, that means like the 10 cities, how much Jesus has done for you.
Which is crazy. Like, how do you modernize that? Like, this guy wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no. But I think it's because Jesus knew he had a better story to tell out in, like, he could do better if he went out in the world rather than follow Jesus.
Because these people didn't know anything about who was coming. They didn't know Messiah. Mm. They didn't know Jesus. All they see is this guy that sends their pigs flying. And if the man who actually knew Jesus, knew what Jesus did for him, if he left with Jesus, how would those people find out who he was?
Good point.
Nobody goes to that region. None of the Jews go there because it's a Gentile territory. Like, they would just see this happen, that guy leave, and be completely blocked off to what's going on. They would have no idea why, how. And so Jesus, dude, his wisdom, like, coming into this guy who wanted to go with him, probably begged to go with him.
I know, yeah.
And said, no, you stay here. Because these people, you're the only one.
Point.
You're the only one, dude, who knows what has happened. How much the Lord has done for you. Go and tell these people.
Right, because if that guy would have went with Jesus, it would have been like people who, like, you know when you're on the highway and you drive by like a fire truck or an accident or something, or you just see like a whole bunch of shining lights and you're like, wonder what happened or what's going on over there. But then you drive by, you never find out. I feel like that's what these people would have been like. Like, all those pigs just went over that hill over there. Like, and then the guy just left. What happened? Are we ever going to get this story? Mm-hmm. And so that guy gets to stay and tell his story. And that's how Jesus works, man. He takes the worst of the worst and makes them the greatest salesman, his greatest salesman.
What's the Leland song, The Great Awakening? One man awakens another. Second one wakes his next door brother. Three awake can rise a town and turn the whole place upside down.
Oh,
that's it, dude. That is the story. That's like this one guy who was the outcast comes in and is like, he's the evangelist now. He's the missionary now. He's the guy. He's the preacher. He's the pastor. He's the dude because he knew Jesus. He saw what Jesus had done for him. He just tells everyone. It's like, this is what this guy did. I was cutting my wrists with stones. I was wild. I was raged. And the last verse, the last sentence in this story is, and all the people were amazed. Once they had heard what the Lord had done for this guy, all the people were amazed. And I'm hoping he had a reunion with his family and like the people that loved him and knew him. And I'm hoping he did. But, you know, we never know. But for sure, this story sets up this idea that we aren't stronger than the devil, but we can be with Jesus. With Jesus, we are more than conquerors. We conquer it with him, with the word, but we are more than that because we're renewed. We're new. Romans 8:37. Actually, Romans 8:36, as it is written, for your sake, as we face death all day long, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That last part is the with Jesus part, the with God part. we aren't just more than conquerors ourselves. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm going to read an excerpt from Piper again. Oh boy, Piper.
Piper.
He did. He wrote a poem. It was super long. I listened to it today. It was awesome. But it kind of, he takes a modern day twist on this story. It's a poem called The Gadarenes. So it talks about these people. But he tries to do an origin story of this demon possessed man and talked about how he had this wife and this son who they were a happy family. But then this man just started to become different. Acted in different ways and slowly fell into this wild, evil state. But despite all of it, his wife and son continued to pray for him. But this is just a short part of the poem. I loved it. Jumping in, it says, they prayed and prayed in spite of all the counsel that she got. It's talking about his wife. Sorry, I'm going to start. This guy's name, Piper calls him Alexander. He just gives him the name Alexander, the demon-possessed man. They prayed and prayed in spite of all the counsel that she got. Just call it quits. Think of yourself. He's not the man you married once. You've got your whole life now to live. The boy will need a normal dad. Your joy is more important than a madman's breakfast. You can't think it's bad to break a vow that's broken way beyond repair. Divorce and lay this crazy covenant aside. Your husband has already died. But still, unwavering, they prayed. Until one day, a man dismayed his friends beside the sea and walked toward the demonic and talked to him as to a fellow man. What is your name? My name? I can surround you with 4,000 eyes, legion, and I see your disguise, son of the Most High God. Why are you come before the time so far from home? This is Decapolis. No Jews live here, just swine. And this, as Alexander pointed to himself. Go on, go on. Look through Decapolis and see if there is one who prays or anywhere seeks after God. This is my prize. Long centuries of exercise has not increased your skill with lies, my little legion, nor your size made you imposing to the one. To the Son of God. You have forgotten one, the wife of Alexander and her son. Now you will see the hand of God. The cup of prayers before my father's throne is full. I pour it now, therefore, on you. Where would you fly? The legion shrieked, what good are pagan Gadarenes? They're swine. But Jesus said, not so. They're mine. Now go, and if for 7 years you've lived in swine, then shed no tears for your appointment now. And they were gone. And Alexander lay unconscious on the ground while herds of swine from Cenobris and birds of prey descended to the sea with 7 years of tyranny. Dude. It was a poem. It took, like, he read it. It took, like, 16 minutes for him to read.
Because did he stop between?
No, he read the whole thing through.
Oh, wait, that was just a piece of it?
That was just an excerpt I read.
Oh, okay.
But because that part was, it started out with how his wife and son continued to pray.
Mm.
And even when people told her, you have to let him go. You have to forget about him.
Mm.
And then it says, but then this man came. He left his friends at the sea. And he came and he just talked to him like a man. Loved on him, and the demons tried to talk him away and say, this isn't your land, this isn't your land, and Jesus said, this is my land, these are my people, and that hints at like the fact that his ministry is not just for Israel, it's not just for Jews, it's not just for you and me, it's not just for the pastor, it's everybody everywhere,
right,
is for Jesus, and Jesus is going to touch all of them.
Yeah, so as we wrap this up, a question to be thinking about as you go throughout this week or going throughout your life is, what are the demons in your life? And when do you need Jesus to come and save you from these demons? What do you need to go to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, these are my demons. Take them from me. Put them in the pigs. Send them over the cliffs. What are those demons in your life?
Yeah, just knowing that you can't do it alone. You shouldn't do it alone. It's only through Jesus that we can conquer sin. Thank you guys so much for listening. This was an awesome one. I loved it, every second of it. Look up Piper's poem, The Gadarenes. Read the whole thing. Listen to him. Read it. It's awesome. Continue to read in Mark 5. Great stories about Jesus preparing for his ministry and coming. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Text us, DM us, shoot us a message on Anchor. In our description, there's a voice message there you can jump on, or and continue to listen to us, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.